certainly giving honor to God, to the Spirit of Christ. I think it's okay to give God the glory. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, give God the glory. Just you can take 5 seconds of the best praise ever. Come on. He's worthy to be praised. Hey, you got 3 more seconds. Give God your best praise. Hey, when I think. Woo. 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 What a joy it will be when we all gather in heaven and praising God like we never before. Certainly giving honor to God, to the Spirit of Christ, unto the God of constant presence and sheer power. The God who is not threatened by whatever you can be. Because no matter what you can never be God. It is only God that would take that which is essential to this being breathing of. And we became a living being. And you are not big and bad except you can release that which is essential of your being and allow others to be and not be threatened by their being. To that God, we give glory, honor, and majesty. May I begin this second watch. I was here the first service. May I begin the second watch again by thanking Pastor King. Pastor King, as I was sitting over there, I wonder how you do this 2 services because I had to drink coffee to get myself hyperactive. And so I want to thank God for Pastor King, his leadership, and his spiritual mentorship here at Christian Tabernacle. Would you celebrate our pastor, please? Would you do that? And to the First Lady. And to the First Lady, Jackie King, would you celebrate her? Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. And to the choir, for such great melody. We saw that classic piece, and you know, we saw all of that. Thank you. And to all of you, to the ministers, and for all of you that have been praying for it and with me. This week, our privilege to attend Pastor Moria, 65th birthday. And if there's nothing we experience so much is the fact that there was great singing. And as I sat over there, I wonder if I could have just done a little piece. And so Pastor Maury, I can try today to do it. Why Shua feel the scourge and one should the shah though come why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. And I know you Verses 2 to 28. And I feel so proud today that I had to hand my Virginia Union regalia to my mom to wear it. And she was like, ah. And so I feel so proud that, you know, God has worked this for us and been a blessing to us. And a poor African boy like me. So John chapter 4, verse 8, whatever you are, if you can stand. Now he had to go through Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob wed was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat by the wed. It was about the 6th hour. Someone say 6 hours. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Would you give me a drink?" His disciple had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For you do not associate with Samaritan." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with from the well. It's deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be tested again, but whosoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give him will become to him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this drink of this water so that I would not get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she said. Jesus said to her, "Yes, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have 5 husbands. And the man you with right now is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our father worshiped on the mountain, but you Jew claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritan worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, And his worshipers must worship in spirit. Verse 28, then leaving her water pot, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Thanks be to God for his word. As you take your seat, my brothers and sisters, would you turn to somebody and tell them, we need a real encounter. Maybe that's the wrong neighbor. Turn to somebody else and say, we need a real encounter. That's what I want to talk about for a few moments. We need a real encounter. Pastored in 2009, when I was about to graduate from seminary with a master's in divinity, we were given the task to conduct a survey among black millennial churchgoers or black millennials. We conducted the survey, and the survey came out to show, Pastor, the question that we asked in the survey is, why is it there is a huge decline of black millennials not coming to the house of God? The response we got were very staggering, because many of them said the church has become fake. Some of them came up to say that the church has not been able to integrate the millennial expressions, the millennial practice, into that which is antiquated theological construct. And so we drew the conclusion, but when they emphasize that the church has become fake and there's nothing real, I wonder what they really meant. Because sometime when you look at church, you can really think that it is not real, because the very people that come to church sometime can be the very people when they go out there that really don't represent what they did in here. And that reminded me a whole lot when I was growing up as a child. I said that this morning. When I was growing up as a child, I was not privileged to play a video game and play all of the best toy you can think about. But what we did familiarly that I still remember was the fact that after church, since I lived as a preacher kid and I lived within the church compound, what we did most, Pastor, was the fact that every now and then when church is over, we would gather all the little children and we would play church. I said we will play church. And the true reality is oftentimes I would be the one acting like the preacher. And my brother would be in the front acting like the deacon. And I have my sister passing around with a big plate collecting the offering. But it won't be long as we have that plain experience. We will always go out fighting among, I don't know what we were fighting for, maybe the offering or something. But one time we were fighting and my mom got so upset, I heard her in the yard. And as I look at that experience, I come to realize the problem with the church is that we have been playing church. And the true reality, we have not had a real encounter with God because we've been playing church. Sometimes I want to scream like my mom when I see some people out there acting the way they act. Then you just got to play in church. Didn't God tell us, my brothers and sisters, that when we have a real encounter with God, it ought to change our outlook, change our individual perspective, change our homes, change our community, change our world. When we have a real encounter, it ought to change something. As we take a gaze at this biblical text this morning, my brothers and sisters, and I said it again, that John is my favorite book in the Bible. Matter of fact, I was 3 years old. The first book that I read throughout my life was John chapter 3. So here, when we look at the book of John, it is very important that I draw my theological understanding of this book. When John writes, what John is writing about, John is actually telling us that God desires a real encounter with us. God desires that when we come to church, when we worship him, when we encounter him, that we must have a real encounter. Can you hear John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without him there was nothing made that was made. In him was the light, and the light was the light of the Word. The light shines in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. There was a man sent by God named John. He was not that light, but rather was sent to bear witness of the light, so that anyone who believed in him can be saved. It went down to say that was the true light that shines in darkness, that shines, that everyone one that comes into the world that they might be saved. He was among us, and he was the creator of this world, but we knew him not. But as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Then it went on to say in John again, when we start approaching the first chapter, the Bible says that when John encountered Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Can you see this real encounter? Yeah. Jesus would meet Philip and Nathaniel and tell Nathaniel, "Nathaniel, you doubting that I know? I saw you before Philip even drew you closer to you." He looked at Simon. He said, "Simon, you should no more be called Simon. You should be called Cephas." All this happening just in the first chapter. By the time we get to the second chapter, Jesus is having an interaction. He's at a party where the wine ran off. And the Bible says, of course, Jesus turned water into wine, allowing their emptiness to turn into effectiveness. But not only that, their embarrassment into empowerment, but the rest of their life into the best of their life. John is telling us that Jesus is desiring a real encounter. The same chapter 2, Jesus is in the temple whipping people, turning tables around because the church was not being real. And Jesus was calling them to experience a real encounter. Yeah. By the time, Pastor, we get to chapter 3, John is now telling us that Jesus is having a real encounter with a man by the name of Nicodemus. The text started by saying there was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art the teacher come from God, for no man can do this miracle except God be with him." Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again." Nicodemus asked Jesus, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus looked at him and said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. I speak earthly things and you don't understand. What more if I speak heavenly things? The wind blows where it listeneth, and so are those who are born of the spirit. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, and he shall draw all men unto himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the word, but that through him the word might be saved." Can you see that real encounter? By the time now we get to the fourth chapter, which is our chapter for discussion today, the Bible says, being compared by divine compulsion, that Jesus need go to Samaria. Compared by divine compulsion, the text says that Jesus need go to Samaria. Yeah, it is important to understand geographical context of that text, because the true reality is there was a beef between Jew and the Samaritan. Jew never went through Samaria. Matter of fact, Judea was in the north, Galilee was in the south. In order for them to get to Galilee or Judea, they have to take the east or the west along the Jordan in order to get to the other side, just to avoid passing through Samaria. But the Bible says, being compared by divine compulsion, that Jesus needs go through Samaria. And there that day in the afternoon, the Bible says he sat on the well and waited. And in the afternoon, there was a woman, a Samaritan woman, who left Sychar 1 mile away to draw water in the afternoon, which is not a custom for the Jews. Women don't draw water in the afternoon. Women draw water, even in Africa, women draw water early in the morning when the water is cool and has not been messed up. They draw the best water in the morning. But this woman is drawing water in the afternoon. And Jesus encountered her. You know the story. They interacted and everything went on. As a result, she became transformed. But the question that I asked this morning, Lisa, I hold you too long, is what happens when you have a real encounter? What really happens when you have a real encounter with God? Well, I'm glad that you asked the question to Minister Bobo. Because the truth is, when we have a real encounter, the text says, we ought to get along with others. Can I say it again? Get along with others. How do you see that in the text? My brothers and sisters, in the ninth verse of this text. Can you hear this woman? I am a Jew and you are a Samaritan. Can I say that again? Jesus, pastor, asked this woman for water. And her response to Jesus is, you a Jew and I am a Samaritan. Do you know what that means? Or can we just all get along? So in order to understand this text, I have to do a historicity to the text to make it more appropriate. And so allow me for a few moments. I'll be where you want me to be. Samaria and Jew had 400 years of embittered hatred. Well, how did that happen? Well, during the day, I think it's 250 B.C., Assyria was the superpower like America. They had three strategies. One, they invade a nation. Two, they conquer a nation. And then they exploit a nation. That sounds like America to me. They invade a nation. Yeah? And they exploit the nation and conquer that nation. So when they conquered the northern kingdom, which Samaria was the capital city, guess what they did? They took all the human resources from Samaria and took them out of Samaria, left a few of them in Samaria, and brought another people and mixed them up. So when they mixed them up, they started, you know, people, they started getting married to each other, boning kids, and as a result, they started having mixed kids. They started having mixed kids. And when they started having mixed kids, something happened. Those were the other Jews that went that did not decide to mix up or mingle and held on to the truth of God. When they came back under the auspices of Nehemiah and Ezra to build the temple, the Samaritans were so excited because, oh my God, our brothers are returning and we're going to rebuild the temple. But when the Samaritans went to offer their services and their help to build the temple, they told them, you are dog and we don't need your service. Can you hear this woman talking to Jesus? You are Jew and I am a Samaritan. Matter of fact, they look down on the Samaritan so much that if you mingle with a Samaritan, you were considered defiled. Because they consider the pale race. Can you hear this woman, pastor? You are Jew, and I am a Samaritan. My brothers and sisters, to add injury to insult, in 196 B.C., a general by the name of John Hyrcanus from the Jewish tribe went up because since they were alienated, they built their own temple in Mount Gerizim, and there where they started worshiping. But that general by the name of John Hyrcanus went up Mount Gerizim and burned their temple. Can you hear this woman? You are Jew, and I am a Samaritan. Deep within that text, my brothers and sisters, there is a racial discrimination. Racial discrimination that have permeated the society of this country. I live here for 16 years. I have never experienced the racism that I've experienced in these 2 years. Racism has become emboldening than ever before. Can we get along? Does it matter whether you are white or whether you are black? Can you hear this woman again, pastor? You are Jew, and I am a Samaritan. You are white, and I am black. You, pastor, what? I got rid of the spirit all the time, pastor, that my 3-year-old daughter came to me and said, Daddy, I'm not black, right? Racial
discrimination is rooted in the fabric of this culture. And my brothers and sisters, if we call ourselves Christian and we have a real encounter with God, it ought to change the way we see others. You are Jude, and I am a Samaritan. But not only is it racial discrimination, there is also, a lot of folk feel in church context, economic discrimination. Where all the folk feel in church that I'm making the boss. I got six figures. And as a result, I categorize myself different from people who's down my level. And my brothers and sisters, if you really have an encounter with God, your money doesn't make you any better than somebody. Where you live, your zip code doesn't make you better than somebody in the project. And if the truth be told, we are all created in the image of the living God. I talk about you ain't making my money. You ain't living where I live. And I emphasize this morning about how sorority now has become a perversive reality within the church. You not alpha man, you not beta woman, and so I can affiliate with you. That's a problem. One of my friends looked at me and said, Adam, you know you not alpha man, and so we can affiliate. I said, well, I hope you being an alpha man knows the alpha and the omega, because it doesn't matter if I wear the shirt or not. Can we get along? Can we get along, my brothers and sisters? Why is it that we claim to be children of God who've had real encounter but yet can get along with the sister? Look at her. I ain't like how she dressed. I don't like her shoes. Look at that hairdo she been wearing the whole time. He got this St. John suit, never changed it. Who cares about that? When we come to the house of God, we come with our differences, and your difference does not mean deficient. You may be fat, you may be skinny, but the truth be told, we were all created in the image of God. You are Jude, and I am a Samaritan. Can we get along? Come on, just look at someone and say, just get along. Just get along. Just get along. The church has become so problematic. We're not getting along. Friction all in the church. I don't know what category that will be. We need a real encounter. And a real encounter ought to make us to get along. How far somebody say get along. Just get along. But not only that, my brothers and sisters, that we ought to get along when we have a real encounter. The text also teaches us, Deacon Myatt, that when we get along, when we have a real encounter with God, we ought to keep it real. Can you turn to somebody and say, keep it real? Keep it real, bro. Keep it real. How do you see that in the text? Verse 17, and I'm taking my time. This is second service. Verse 17. Can you hear this woman after she encountered Jesus' conversation? I believe, Pastor, again, and I'm conjecturing that this woman, after she said, you were Jude and I'm a Samaritan, because John said there were many things recorded in the book, and there are some that have not been recorded, but this is recorded that we might believe and have life. So I believe after that conversation, Jesus may have looked at her, because notice the content. He said, you don't know the gift of God. And who is it that asks you? What he's trying to say, the gift of God in the text is the love of God. And Jesus is love. He said, if you have so much love, you ought to get along. So I'm sorry. In my conjecture, Jesus may have told the woman, I'm sorry that we have treated you this way. Then when they got through with the social and moral issues, the Bible says, the social and racial issues, then Jesus turned to the moral issue. Keep it real. He asked the woman, he said, "Woman, why don't you just go to town and call your husband?" Notice what the woman said in the text, the woman said, "I do not have a husband. I do not have a husband." Now, when you look at the text critically, many people think that she was trying to be mysterious. She was trying to be self-righteous. She was trying to be religious. But she wasn't being religious. What she was trying to do was to be real with Jesus. She said, "Jesus, now that I know I'm having a real encounter with you, Jesus, I am a jackup lady. Matter of fact, I don't have husband, but the husband that I'm sleeping with is not my husband." Then Jesus looked at her and said, "Woman, you just been real." That's what he told her. "You just been real. You have said the right thing, because the truth is you have had 5 husbands. And even the one that you're with is not your husband. That's your friend husband." I said this morning, what would it look like if we were to be real to some deacons in the church? That, you know, "Deek, I'm being real. I'm sleeping with his, or I'm sleeping with her. I wonder what church will look like, because your name will be all over the place. Matter of fact, we will cause hell in the church. Sister, get me my Vaseline, fix your head, and get out her." But I'm glad, brothers and sisters, that when we have to keep it real, we don't tell man our problem. We tell Jesus our problem. And Jesus will fix it for us. Jesus is able to keep that vision. It's committed to his hand. Keep it real. Man, I knew second service would have been college student. And so, Pastor, I kept my testimony for second service. I grew up in a very fundamental house. My father is a preacher. You should know what a preacher look like when he has a son. I know what you guys experience, because I've been there. And so, my brothers and sisters, Pastor, I graduated from with my bachelor and went to seminary. Pastor, I've never drunk alcohol or been to the club. But why you would think that I went to seminary to learn about God and know more about God? But Pastor, the seminary was the very first place that I was when I entered a nightclub, because one of my pastor friends decided that he's going to celebrate his birthday party in the nightclub. Can I be real? Can I be real? And so that was the first time I saw an American nightclub with the light I was gathering my crew on to. But brothers and sisters, what am I trying to say? We all got weaknesses. Can I be real? Okay. The second year I entered seminary, you know, young African guy got his little accent. And all the girls like my accent. "Oh, I like your accent." I said, "Yeah, baby, I'm from Africa." And so, my brothers and sisters, one of the hottest chick in seminary. I mean, Pastor, the girl was fine. And she had her eyes on nobody but the young African prince. And so every now and then, Pastor, we would work our way and study good. But one night she invited me at her dormitory room in the seminary. So she called me, and I went there. We started studying, but before I realized, Pastor, it was turning into a different moment other than a theological moment. Before I realized, she was reaching out to me, and I was like, "Excuse me, we in a seminary." Pastor, I still wonder, if that was not the seminary, how I would have responded, because I ran out of the room. And guess what? Early in the morning, she's the hottest chick on campus, and she already told the boys. And then one of my friends came to me. He said, "Adam, there's one thing I know you African don't do. You're not gay, right?" So because I walk away from the hot chick, that means I must be a gay. Can you see the weakness? Sometimes we just gotta be real that every now and then all of us have our weaknesses. And every now and then you gotta keep it real. Bring your weakness to God, because if the truth be told, all of God's children have sinned. You have sinned and I have sinned. So when I come to God, I come with my sin problem. Is there anybody like myself who got weakness, who been messing up and said, God, I will keep it real. I've been cursing. I've been sleeping with her. I've been doing this. Is there anybody who want to keep it real? Husband and wife forcing and cursing their way from home, show up in the parking lot after cursing all that big curse, the BS word, and then they enter church, put their Bible under their arm, and then people say, how are you? Oh, bless and holy favor. Pretenders, pretenders. When we come to God, we ought to come to God just as we are, wounded and weary, but I find in you a resting place, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Won't it be one church be a better place if we were keeping it real? Won't one church be a better place where college student, when you come from your dormitory and you're able to talk to God that I'm struggling with pornography? Won't it be a real thing when you come to God and tell him I'm struggling with drug addiction and I don't come yet acting like I got it all together? Give it to the Lord and the Lord will take care of you. I do not have a husband. She was being real, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Pastor. Jesus. We all to, the first thing we all to do is to get along. Not only do we get along, but we also ought to keep it real. Because God desire us to be real. The church would be a fake place, as the millennials say, if we are not real. But at least I hold you too long. Goodbye, Christian Tabernacle Baptist Church. May the good old Lord bless you. And bless you real good. But not until I tell somebody that when you have a real encounter, not only do you keep it real, not only do you get along, but the text says that you should also get ready or let go religion and build a relationship. Can you see it in the text? Let go of your religion and build relationship. The woman told Jesus, Jesus, we Samaritan worship up this mountain, but you Jude worship in Jerusalem. She was being religious, as if Christian Tabernacle is the only place that God can show up. As if the Pentecostal church is the only place that God can show up. God is not confined in a box. True worshiper must worship God in truth and in spirit. As if I'm talking to somebody who's been having religion because your mom was in church, because your dad was a deacon, that cannot take you to heaven. She said, our father used to do this, but can I send a message to somebody? Your father cannot take you to heaven. Your mother cannot take you to heaven. You ought to get to a place where you have a real Jesus. Because the Bible says, work up your salvation with fear and trembling. Leave religion alone. It's not by work of righteousness that we have done, but by his grace, he saves us. You know what religion has done, Pastor? Religion has made the young people to believe that God is everything. And that you can get God everywhere. Matter of fact, science, Pastor, has proven that this heaven and the earth was created by the bang. Big bang. You know, Pastor, as I was looking at that critically, I think I seem to agree with that. But it got down differently. Now, let me give you the story, young people, as I hasten to get out of your way. Yeah, it's Big Bang theory. It's Big Bang. But this is how it happened. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Guess what happened? Bam! And the earth was without form, and the darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Bible said, and God said, let there be light. Bam, 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 bam. And everything came to be. Goodbye. May the Lord God bless you and bless you real good. But when Sister Girl met my Jesus, she had a change in her life. The Bible says that she went out in the town. I want to believe that when she was going to the where, she had a miniskite. But when she met Jesus, she started pulling it down. Pulling it down. Covering her cleavage and stopped shaking all over. And when she got to town, she said, I met a man. His name is Jesus. He told me everything about me. Is there anybody here who met my Jesus? Say yeah, say yeah, say yeah, say yeah. And he all right, say yeah, say yeah, say yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I once was blind, but now I'm far. I was lost, but now I'm far. Say yeah, yeah. Do you know Jesus? Say yeah. He's real, he's real, he's real. Say yeah. Praise your best praise. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the falling down. Say yeah.
Amen. Amen. We can do better than that. Let's give God some praise. Amen. You had a real encounter with the living God. I've always said you can't have a real encounter with the living God and remain unchanged. Reverend Kine preached to us today that when you have a real encounter with God, ought to be able to get along with others. When you had a real encounter with God, you feel comfortable keeping it real, telling God what he already knows about you. And when you've had a real encounter with God, you don't seek religion. You seek a relationship with him. So the doors of the church are open, and will you respond to the gospel as we stand to our feet and sing hymn number 167? Somebody's heard the gospel today. Will you respond to God just as you are? Just he's speaking to you right now. Don't wait and say, I gotta stop cursing, I gotta stop drinking, I gotta stop clubbing. Come as you are. Come
Just say